Okay, so. Before beginning, just a question: how many person are from network enterprise service or something like this, or work with core networks? Just a poll. Okay. Pretty much. It's not working.
No.
Now?
Sorry. Okay, so I want my own cellular network. So that's why you're here. And first of all, who am I? I'm Alessandro Acieri. I work for one of Italian service provider, and I work for exactly cellular network engineering and IP network engineering. And I use open source software and Linux from many years now. Then, just a little index, because the first part is just a theoretical part, because we need to understand some concept in order to make a network, especially a cellular network. And then we have a demo, so okay, we will play with hardware. I'll try to be as clear as possible about this. No, not that, okay. So, what are we talking about? As an APC network, so 4G core, and it's the core that is actually serving your cellular at the moment. If you have a smartphone, you are connected to the blue blocks, the blue block inside the slide, so central one. And this is also the high level, so it's the panorama in which the network is posed. The UE is your smartphone, so the normal terminal. Then you have the RAN, or the radio part of the network, the towers and the RF equipment. Then you have the core network, which is the brain of the world problem. And then you have multiple interaction with other services, because the packet core is just for packets. It handles packets of the network, not the world services. They are connected on other parts of the network and are integrated by specific interface. So that's the big picture. But even the core network, it's created by simple function that are responsible for just one task. And it's composed by functions. So these are just logical, not real nodes in the strict term. Maybe in commercial or open source implementation, they are combined in one node, they are split, but these are the roles, let me say, of the nodes. And for every node, we have a specific function. For example, the first node we are going to talk about is the MME, which is the brain of the network, because it's responsible for dealing the signaling, or in other terms, the interaction between all the elements in this kind of a network. So it's the brain, it's the element that is making the decisions. And it coordinates also the other nodes. After that, we have the HSS, which is the node responsible for authentication. It's the user database, talking about a bigger picture. And the HSS is responsible for authentication, because every user is authenticated, that has his own keys. Otherwise, I will be able to make calls from every number. And it also handles the authorization, so which service I'm able to get with my SIM. Then we have the DNS, which is not strictly a 3GPP name, but it's a real DNS, because in 4G networks, the discovery and the topology of the nodes is described by DNS records. And the MME is responsible to get its kind of configuration, or IPN resolution, by making queries to DNS into specific records and making decision based on the answer it gets. For example, if I have a TSC tracking area, which it's a common name for the area that is served by my radio, I have to get other information from other nodes that have to handle the traffic. And this information are gotten by DNS. The first information I have to get, for the example of before, it's the S-gateway, which is just a decoupling element, because the S-gateway is the anchor point between the network itself, that is a centralized network, and the radio part, which is completely into the wild. It's on radio sites, so it's distributed on the territory. And in order to get this, you have this element that decouples the plane between the internal part of the network, the core interface, let me say, and the edge or the access path through the network, that is the RAN and the U-Node-B. And then we have the real router, because it's a router, more or less, of the network, that is the packet gateway, and it's really just to handle the traffic of the user. So if you have familiarity with the fixed network access, it's the BNG, or the broadband access gateway of a mobile network. And there it's also, it's the element that gives you IP, network configuration, handles, for example, detection of what traffic are you doing and how it has to be charged. And last part of the network is the PCRF, that is a policy enforcer. If you are using the metaphor we use above for the fixed network, it's kind of the radius of the mobile infrastructure, because it's handling your QS, how much data you can make, what kind of QS you have. You are a prioritized user, a normal user, so it gets you the data about this. And in the beginning, we talked about packet core network. Now I was just to focus you on the packet term, because it's the key point of an LTE network. If you have familiarity with other kind of network, the 2G1 or 3G1, they were network that were made for making calls. So the problem was, I have my user on the territory, I want them to make calls together, just phone service. Then the data arrived as add-on. So the data network was emulated, or the data connection was emulated as a call, like the LAP times in the 90s. The new network, instead, the LTE network, it's a completely different paradigm. My focus is when the user is connected, it's able to make data. So the real problem is making just data. Phone service, value-added service are just supplementary service. The real problem is making data, open an APN. And from this little difference, all the other part of the network are just some elaboration of it, because if I'm making data, I use an IP network, IP transport network, not an old SSN network or circuit driven network. That's my problem. So I use new protocols that are carried by IP packets. So my data IP packets, my transport protocol is IP, so I make IP network. And then if I use IP network, I can also use some COTS hardware, because I don't need specific, or let me say custom, because in the old days, network equipment, they're very custom equipment, but I can use really standard and also commercial equipment, because the big part of the problem is the software, not the hardware. In the old days, the problem was the hardware, because I had to implement my protocols just in hardware. And for example, many commercial implementation of core networks from many vendors are on normal inter-platform or normal, let me say, servers, not like in the old days, they were very specialized hardware, very specialized hardware, ASICs, and circuit boards that were making the computation in just one matter. So no upgradable, no software reconfiguration, You get the board, and the board just know how to do something. And the last point is that in the old days, the network was, let me say, trusted. So it's a problem for the user to authenticate to the network, but the net, from the point of the user, the network is always a safe zone. So if I'm able to connect to the network, it doesn't mean that the network is good. I can connect to it. So we had many news about spoofed networks or Stinger or other, let me say, NSA-like mechanisms that are used to fake a network and to make users to connect to them. In 4G and in 5G, it's also stricter. This policy, we have a sort of mutual authentication. So the user needs to authenticate to the network in order to get the service, but also the network is some way authenticated by the user and I know when I connect to the network that I'm connected to my provider network, not to someone that is impersonating it. And the most part of this picture we see before, it's about dealing with signaling. Signaling is the real nervous system of the network because it's basically commands between network elements that make the network act like expected. And for a basic procedure like a touch, that is the first thing your phone do when it's powered up, we have really a lot of signaling because just the first part is on the radio. That part is on, it's just for the UE, which is the terminal to the radio. Then we start dealing with the core network and signaling because the terminal asks for the network for, I want to touch, what I have to do. And then the network reacts on this. It's the MME that is doing the word coordination part. Because it's asking, for example, for keys, because we're talking about network authentication. The authentication is done by keys. Yeah, I have one key into the HSS, I have one key on the SIM card, and I have to check if these keys are the same. If they are the same, I can attach to the network. Otherwise, I'm not the user. I'm another one that is trying to impersonate me. So the MME, it's asking for keys, the HSS is answering back with the keys, then the procedure is propagated to the user. There is a challenge response mechanism, so I calculate an hash, I send you the challenge with this hash, I expect from you a correct answer. If it's not good, you are not where trying to be. If the authentication is good, I start with the security procedure. The security procedures, it's an agreement on the keys and protocols that I'm using on the radio interface. After that, I'm just authenticated to the network. I'm still not connected. And now, if I'm authenticated, I start with, okay, now you know I'm the user, I know you are the network. I have to understand where I can put my data. So you start with some location procedure, okay? We just have two major scopes. The first one for the request is it's related to giving the network the place where the user is. It's called update location request. So the user is in that location. And from this procedure, I get a response that is update location answer. In the answer, I have my profile as user. For example, what resources are you able to open this APN, this other APN, you are able to make this kind of traffic, you have this kind of, let me say, pipe. Otherwise, you have these resources on the radio, bigger one, lesser one. So at this point, we have the profile, but we have just the profile because now the MME knows what the user can or cannot do. And at this point, the MME starts another procedure that is related to, okay, now we know the user. I know what can do, where this user can attach, so where it can put its data, who is the node that is responsible for its service. And it's the decision about this, it's done by querying the DNS. like we said before, because it's a dynamic system. So I put my TAC and my PN, I get back the two information I need, which is my S gateway for the run handling, and which is my P gateway responsible for my internet traffic. Let me select this. So a query, a response, and then I can finally start with the making the tunnel, because the traffic is tunneled to the core network in GTP tunnels. And basically, I start a procedure for create the session, so create session request. It's propagated, then I hit the PCRF here, which says, okay, traffic coloring are you applying? Which is your QoS? PCRF answer bed, which is QoS? And then I can create, finally, my session. So at this point, I can finally make traffic. All this procedure, it's completed every time you power up your phone or every time you move from a cell to another in real time. So you have lots of this procedure. And the whole core network, it's engineered in order to make this procedure really, really, really fast, because you have millions of it in a commercial network. Last concept we have to talk about, last theoretical argument. Core network, it's all on the signaling part in contraposition with the user plane part. This paradigm can be really pushed to the bleeding edge, because I can, for example, in the old implementation, I had control plane and user plane on the same node. So I had to run specialized hardware with specialized signaling in order to get the service. And with the 4G networks, I have the CUPS paradigm, which means basically control user plane separation. So this is my control plane part, which is basically the intelligent part of the problem, which is making decisions and communicating with other elements. And then I have my user traffic just here. This is the user part, which is also called UPF. And UPF is just network handling. I get my rules from the control part, and I process the traffic using these rules. In other words, this is something I can easily replace, reconstruct, change implementation, make it containerized, because it's just computational power. And this is network handling. So it's payload intensive, but it's standard. I have just two or three commands, and I combine it with these commands. Okay, that was the theoretical part of the problem, but now we want our network, because the talk was, I want my own network. And the problem is that when one thinks about telco network, it seems like black magic. No one knows how they work. It's not something you, if you're not involved in them, it's not something you study, more or less, sometimes. But there are a lot of open source implementation. For example, Open5GS, that is the one I use, NextEPC, SRS RAN, and also Osmocom for all their networks. So there are a lot of implementation. And they are all working otherwise. And for example, Open5GS is also a release 17 compliant, which is one of the last standards the 3GPP published. So it's something that is driven by community, but it's also usable, because it's not like mockup. It's real implementation, so it's really implementing a lot of service. Your telco provider may use everything of these features. And this is just the whole ecosystem that is implemented by Open5GS, which is a combo 4G or 5G network. They implement both standards. Okay. Too much talking, demo time, because the idea is that you can literally power up your telco provider with just a laptop and some hardware. Let's say which hardware. We need compute power, containerized, VM, container. You can choose whenever you want, because it's open source, so you can recompile and do whenever you want. I personally use containers because it's easy for me. You need to know the interaction of the components, the component itself. So the theory we drive around before. So the interactions and some of the standards. And then we start with the hardware. You need an SDR because really Node-B are really, really expensive. But with the GNU Radio and some other software, you can have your own SDR acting as Node-B. And then you have to also have some, let me say, ref hardware, especially something to shield, because in most countries, 5G, 4G and 5G, or also all telephony frequency are strictly regulated, so you cannot go into the air, otherwise you will disrupt the service from others, from legacy service providers. So for example, here my setup is just with RF cables, so no RF emissions. Then another tool that makes your life easy and that I can say it loud, it's an RF spectrum analyzer, because it's the only part you cannot see. So it's one of the most important instruments you need to own in order to deal with RF problems. And then last part, you need SIM cards, because as we said before, old networks doesn't mutually authenticate, new networks does mutual authentication. So you need to have a real SIM card to write out with keys, and a lot of time. So time was most over, so I will go quickly. That's the
content. Have to wrap it up, we're way over time.
Yeah, okay. That is the implementation. It's always on this laptop, which is offline, so it's always there. And it's made by containers. So the blue one are from Open5JS. The red one is from SRS LT, RUN, which is a project from SRS LTE that make a speech tomorrow. So come and see it. Then we have our RF hardware, which is user and SDR. And just a Mongo database in order to put the user data. And then I try to make you just the quick demo.
Sorry. Can you open the doors?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. We don't have time for the demo.
No time?
No, go.
Okay. I'll fire up my SDR, that's quickly easy. I just power up the core network, which is really, really, really fast. And start, and then I just connect my UE to the laptop. Oh, sorry, I forgot to power up the Node-B, so it's not working right now. And now, if we are lucky, we should see the connection itself. So it sees our Node-B. This is connected. This is actually modulating, and then from Unix Network Manager, I should be able to make the connection. Just a moment. I'm connected, I'm authenticated, and where it is. I'm able to reach. So this ping, it's going from the laptop, that's its user equipment, coming to the modem. From the modem, it's sent to the RF equipment, and then it's handled by the P-Gateway. So the 999, it's not connected on the laptop, but it's on the P-Gateway container. And basically, this is my traffic. This is my traffic.
Thanks.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
So I'll be trying.
Yeah.
I'll try to. Okay.
Yeah, I see.
I'll try, you know.
Sembra se voglio vedere.
Okay. Yeah, can you come forward?
Okay, sorry, I was long.
It's okay.